I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Karmam Saranam Gacchami Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again yourself. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do thou, the noble truth of suffering. Do thou, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Do thou, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Do thou, Nirodha, Ramini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Omniscience is in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. My compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By the compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By the compassionate speech that aims for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most sweetly vow to train myself.
In the practice of loving kindness,
in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of the inquiry through prayer dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am Lord of Karma. I am an heir to Karma. I abide in Karma, and I am supported by Karma. Whatever I do creates Karma, and I shall surely experience this Karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. To Yampi Abhyampi Salaha. Again and yet again, may we so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to these. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Scott?
We're on a practice weekend, and we've been looking at directing the attention.
Uh-huh.
And it's just funny to have the miracle of, and the privilege of living here, and committing my life to practicing full time. And then, I guess one of the pitfalls of that sometimes is you could take it for granted.
Uh-huh.
And so we're having this retreat where we have folks who have been coming up for decades, and we have folks who are coming up for the first time. And it's been so helpful to, I love trying, like, especially the new folks, kind of trying on with new eyes, things that can, like, directing the attention, the miracle of that can kind of be like, oh yeah, I know that. So
yeah.
So an example, yesterday in group we were making these recordings and listening to them, having a particular word. And I heard somebody say something, essentially I think what they said was, well, when I was recording and listening and having my attention on that, all those problems that were there before I came up seemed to be gone.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, yeah, that's cool. And then later I was like, wait. That is so profound that essentially if you bring your attention here to the present, there are no problems anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, two processes that you're looking at, right, Scott? One is that ability to practice is what you do. It's what your life is about. And because it is what you embody in your life, sometimes there isn't that awareness of the miracle of what it is that you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And so there's tremendous appreciation when there are mirrors brought into your life to reflect the miracle of what you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a tremendous appreciation for, wow, this is what I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the skill that I have been practicing, and it's available to me, directing the attention. And when we're in that place of wonder, we're open to insights from people also practicing that might never have occurred to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so one of them happened to you, as someone mentioned, if I direct the attention to the moment, the attention was on a conversation which all of those problems existed. And when I brought the attention to this moment, the problems disappeared. And that, there was a registration of that's good, that's cool. And then to recognize the profound insight in that, that when our attention is in the moment, it's not on the conversation, and all of the problems are created in the conversation.
Yeah. And so, so because that was right here in my awareness, or in the awareness, I've been practicing with that. And
I project recognizing the truth of it.
And recognizing, and I love practice because we don't have to believe anything. And in fact, the whole weekend's about have your own experience. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, even if you heard that, it's sort of like, well, let me check that out.
Yes.
So I've been noticing I'm coming up on a transition, and there's a lot of conversation about tidying up things here, and then we're going about the travel, and then okay, your list of things when you get, and I just saw it actually when we were doing a daily recollection that was going on, but I wasn't aware of it until all of a sudden I woke up to the line, all forms are transient. And it was just that place where it was a problem. I could feel the tension in my body, and then I get here, and I love that line because it's like all experiences, everything is transient.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that I've been being guided the whole time. So it's not that I'm not making lists, but that doesn't, just because I make a list or I put it in a slot of when something's going to happen, that doesn't mean that's when it's going to happen.
Yes, it never does.
No, but it's helpful to have that there. And then what life's been doing, sort of like if you had the list on a Word document in a computer, it's almost like if you were like, well, I'm going to cut and paste it down here, except for I'm not cutting and pasting. It's like you're sitting at the computer and somebody else is moving the mouse and things are getting shifted around. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how about that? And it's like, oh, that's perfect. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all practice. That the essential part you're making is that we're guided.
Yes.
If we're here on a spiritual path, our spiritual director is something other than us.
Yes, yes, and we can know the difference.
And we can know the difference, and we can wake up into the guidance because we wake up into the perfection of it.
Yeah.
Right? That sense of knowing, that sense of alignment, that this was done in a way that I could possibly never have imagined.
Yeah, and it's always, we can know it too, because every time I get into that place of, I mean, it's kind of funny to think I'm completely in control of all these things occurring and happening the way I want.
Yeah.
Even though my life experiences, that doesn't ever happen.
Yeah, and I project thought that if we do have to forget in order to remember.
Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
And so that place of unconsciousness is always a place of learning. And to me, the ultimate learning is coming back to the notion that we're guided. It's what builds the practice of constant devotion, because it produces the practices of faith.
Uh-huh.
And so if we don't look at it on the content level, but the process level of what the spiritual path is like, then it's basically revealing the presence of presence unconditionally all the time.
And
our capacity to be witness that.
Yes. Yes, that's what we're learning.
That's what grows. So I'm sitting here in the hall, and I'm not even aware that I'm in that conversation that's causing that tension for me. And the line comes through the daily recollection to say, all formations are transient.
Yeah.
And there you are.
There I am.
And then the problems dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brings into your awareness how that is your experience. Yes, I'm here, think I'm in control, I'm going to do this and all of that. And it's helpful in some way to be present to what it is that we're going to do without any attachment to the outcome of it.
Yes.
And then to be an acceptance of how that gets shifted around for you perfectly.
Yeah, and it's just such a delight.
It's such a delight.
And I love that it's on any level. So here I am with the list, I'm leaving my hermitage, okay, I got everything. And then I'm a little bit up the path from my hermitage and I hear towel. And so, you know, in the past, before practice, it would sort of be like, oh, you almost forgot your towel. Oh, I don't think you're quite together if you almost forgot your towel, then when you're going to take a shower, you know. But I know that was from life.
Yeah.
That's how life talks to me. Just a little tap, towel.
Yeah.
And so instead of having my attention on that conversation about, well, you almost and you should have, and I just make God show and say thank you, and I get my towel, and I go up.
Yeah.
And as you said, that growing awareness of that, that kind of guidance at any level is happening all the time.
Yes. And the perfection is that place you get to when you go to thank you.
Yes.
Because ultimately we have to surrender to life on life's terms.
Yes.
Right?
That is the being worn away.
That's
isn't it?
Right, that's being worn away. So it's not like, I wish you could have told me that before I left my country. So that I would have to double back and go.
Yeah.
It's that thought that we're surrendering.
We're
that
just,
it couldn't be a better
yeah.
thing. This we're, moment is perfect as it is.
Yeah, which is hilarious, right? So
yes.
here's this little self essentially telling. All that is.
All that is.
I think you should have done it this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go. Christina, and then we'll come around.
Okay, I had this experience twice of life leading me through some of these directing the attention exercises that we had. And for the first of yesterday, we had the assignment to, we picked a word, and we didn't get to choose, we picked. And I received awe. And so right away, you know, I went to the mind, what does that mean? What's the definition? How does that really look? You know? And then I was prompted into all these different places. And at one point I went outside. I think we went outside to record. And, or at least I did. And this butterfly came in. And it was kind of, you know, going around me. And it was beautiful and all of that. Then it sat down on the tile, mm-hmm. and it just sat there, mm-hmm. barely moving. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah. And then I was like, you know, and then I had the whole, oh, stay looking. What does this mean? Are you going to talk about it? And the funny thing is, so then I stayed there, and it left for a while, and it came back, and I was completely into it. And by the time I got back into the hall, we sat down. We moved into dyad. I had forgotten the experience. I didn't even report about it. And it wasn't until somebody later brought up something in group that I remembered. I was like, oh, yes, I had a direct experience of that word. And then really quickly, the same thing happened later when I got to choose my own word. I chose joy. And I was, you know, recording in my hermitage, having, you know, a good old time. And having, you know, seeing all these insights and recording stuff, and then my recorder dropped, and I did this really, like, ridiculous thing of trying to get at it, and I was pulling it and trying to get it back, and it got all tangled up, and at some point, I just started cracking up. You know, it's like, okay, this is so ridiculous, but again, this is that experience of joy. I'm getting to have it. I could either be in, well, if I was really paying attention or being really careful, I wouldn't have dropped my recorder and I wouldn't have had so much trouble getting it back out. But instead, I got to see the humor in it.
Yes.
And that felt like such a gift.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, and what I hear you saying, right, Christina, is that the wonderful process by which the ego drops. For life to reveal what the word means,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. that conditioned default way of thinking about it. Well, what is wonder? And what is awe? And what is joy? And then to be in that process and then suddenly drop into presence
yes.
from which you have that direct experience and have that additional piece of that something is talking to you. Right?
Yeah.
That butterfly
yeah.
is dancing in front of you, attempting to get your attention, just as this is attempting to get your attention. And then all of a sudden, when the attention drops into awareness, there's that direct experience of what the butterfly is attempting to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And because that there is that relatedness, right? That there's, it's not just, it's arising in life, there's a sense of that connection, that communion,
mm-hmm.
that it's being offered to you, that allows us to drop into an absolute sense of, oh my gosh,
yes,
yes? The yes. joy.
The joy, and also getting clear that we have to move through the stuff.
Oh, yes.
And because sometimes I wanted to shift into the place where it's all good, you know? And but you know, then the recorder drops, and you know, then it gets tangled, and then I'm being really goofy, you know, trying to get this out, and then it's hilarious, you know,
yes.
because that's I have to move through it. I'm getting through the, you know,
Yes, it's such a wise and profound insight. Because self-hate gets us in that place of blame. Right? That there is a way in which if you were the right person, you would be joyful all the time. If you were the right person, you wouldn't have to search for what awe is. But the lesson is that it's there and it has nothing to do with you. And that whatever stands in the way of that is our practice of encountering and transcending. It's only when, in some ways, we have it when we drop what's stopping us from having it. To idealize just having it without having to go through that process is suffering.
Right.
Okay. Right. And I think that that's why it is. I don't know. Who knows? But right. It seems to be empirically true that you can't have something till you go through this stuff.
Right.
Right.
You don't need to see that. You don't need to.
Yeah. You have to encounter what you need to transcend.
And the communion.
Yeah. And the delight is. The recognition that the communion exists all the time, and I wasn't there, and so the absurdity that I'm involved in something in order to discover that is the only way that joy exists. You crack up because the ego cracked up, and there you are with all of love, all of the joy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Sequoia.
I too just wanted to give a word of appreciation for the homework last night.
Uh-huh.
To just have a word that inspires and record about it. Mm-hmm. I was not wanting to do that last night.
Can we say that which did not want to do that was not you, Sequoia?
That which did not want to do that was not me. And it was pretty present.
Resistance. But that's important, right?
It is.
Even in the language that we use, we want to be definite about what is what. Mm-hmm. That process is resistance.
That process is resistance, and there was just a strong pull to get into it. Mm-hmm. Encountering what we need to transcend. Every once in a while, there's just like this pull to just go off of it.
Yes.
You know? And yet there is something else that realizes that that's not really what the heart wants. The heart does not want to be going off with.
It's training.
It's training, exactly. So I picked up the recorder, and so this is where I think it was. There's two things. First of all, what I love about the year-long retreat is never knowing what's going to come out when you sit down to do that homework.
Uh-huh.
And to just watch, you know, life. And it was the same thing with picking up the recorder. It's like, I don't know what's going to come out here. And then I feel like it was like not denying what was really going on, but looking from a different place of what is needed right now. What's needed for this person? And it was really obvious that kindness and unconditional love were both the things that were up. Mm-hmm. And so just turning to a recording of kindness.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So here's what I'm hearing you say, right? Before there's the awareness of resistance, which mm-hmm. means that the attention is on something that is causing you to suffer. And there's a tremendous amount of not wanting to address the suffering, mm-hmm. which is very much what happens when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. We're in the resistance. There is no, I mean, that system wants to perpetuate the suffering forever, right?
Yeah.
But whatever we're seeking, mm-hmm. right, seeking to end the suffering and the training that it doesn't matter what it's going to say, but I'm going to pick up that recorder because my experience is that I have no idea what's going to happen. Yes. My part is to pick the recorder up and not choose the resistance, not let it not talk me out of doing that.
Yes.
And then as soon as the recorder gets picked up, there is the ability to actually turn to what is actually going on for this person.
Yeah.
And what is needed, not denying that there is resistance,
mm-hmm.
not denying whatever that resistance mm-hmm. is actually hiding,
yeah.
Yeah. And then discovering that allows me to turn the attention to what is needed in the moment, which was kindness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it again brings us to that place of the assignment is created as a structure for us to perform certain movements. It's not about making sure that you direct the attention to the word that was on the board. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's simply an invitation to be present. If you do the assignment, which is make the movement, mm-hmm. life gives you the word.
Yeah.
Life gives you what you need to attend to.
Yeah.
And it's a totally delightful experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something you just said about what resistance is hiding?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to say more?
Yeah, just say a little bit more. Yeah.
But the point is that when karma's around, mm-hmm. It's always the attention's on the content, on the resistance, on the process of not dealing with it, mm-hmm. right? Avoiding it. Mm-hmm. And so if it can get you not to look at what's really going on, uh-huh. then it can perpetuate itself in eternity in controlling you.
Right.
But if you're willing to go, well, I know what that is, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to deal with it, and look at it, then you actually uncover what it's saying or what the belief is or what the content is that it's working on you mm-hmm. in order to keep you in a suffering place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So not, yeah.
And so resistance is always a clue that there's something going on that ego doesn't want you to look at mm-hmm. and get past.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we train ourselves to do is as soon as resistance shows its ugly head, we look at it.
Yeah.
From exactly the place you're talking about. I have no idea what I see when I turn over that rock.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me I'm going to see all kinds of creepy crawlies.
Right.
So let's not look at it.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I know that what I'm doing, even if I'm not consciously aware of it, is to free this human being.
Exactly.
I'm willing to look at a bunch of creepy crawlies.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
there's total unconditional acceptance of the circumstances and the situation
mm-hmm.
in order to do what it is I'm committed to doing, which is to be free.
Right. And there's that adequacy to face
yeah.
the creepy crawlies, which, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only in ego's mind that creepy crawlies are disgusting or whatever, repulsive or, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I mean, I know, you pick up a bug in the garden and you're just lost in wonder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just so perfect. I was given the opportunity to take care of something this week that is just something I would never... I had to take care of something that had died. And it was one of those creepy crawlies that no, not that, you know. And yeah, and it was just such a great metaphor for all of that because, yeah, there was the willingness to face it, the willingness to take care of it, and there was that not one. Oh, gosh, just this strong aversion. Look, I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to see this thing. And then it was like, you know, the mentor was there going, just look. You know, and so I did. And an instance where just so it's just such a strong pull to not look, don't look at those, you know, so that was just the literal.
The literal and the metaphorical process.
Literal
aligning.
Right.
Yeah.
And anyway. Yeah.
Well, and what we learn through that process mm-hmm. is there is resistance. The training is to summon the willingness to look to that which is kind and supportive mm-hmm. in the process of looking so that we're not alone, we're not afraid
mm-hmm.
because someone's holding my hand.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to have whatever experience we have when we turn over the rock and look.
Mm-hmm.
We're not expected not to feel scared, not to feel disgusted. It's like I'm having the worst time in my life
mm-hmm.
looking and dealing with this
mm-hmm.
thing. But the point is, I looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not controlled
yes.
and made small mm-hmm. and feel inadequate
right.
and bad by not looking.
Yeah. And as you said, also the point was there was something else there that was just, I felt like, was with me. Just to say, it's okay to look. You know, you don't have to be running scared or, you know, avoiding all the time.
Yes.
So just try that. Just try looking and see what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. See if everything, you know, disappears.
Yes.
And to close, I want to say, what happened at the recording kindness was just miraculous, completely miraculous. I mean, the difference was like, it was just being present to an utter transformation in, you know, in 1 minute of recording. And I just saw that kindness just came in and was just manifest in just the way I wanted to then move through my surroundings and everything. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. Very powerful exercise.
Yes, very powerful because we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the benefit of going up against the resistance,
mm-hmm.
and looking at what you were told not to look at and discovering what you needed was available,
mm-hmm.
to transform whatever was going on, which would not have happened if the resistance was allowed to win.
Yeah. I guess that's the hero's journey. It's one of those fine lines, you know.
Razor's edge.
Remember that, razor's edge, when we're up again. It's so easy to say, ah,
yeah,
I'm just going to curl up here and suck my thumb and, you know, feel bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just that one,
what's it, 10 seconds of insane courage?
Picking up the recorder, just you wouldn't think.
But it is. It is. In that moment, you're going up with all the forces of darkness that exist in the universe.
I know.
Right? It feels like that.
It does.
Yeah.
It totally does. And it just, they're just pulling. Yeah.
And that's why the transformation is so intense. Right? Because that's what you went up against to get to the other side, and then you were floating in the sea of kindness.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
And a reestablishment of adequacy and compassion and the nature of the universe and what you are and the encounter with that. So you go up against the intensity of those forces of darkness to the immensity of everything that is.
Everything that is.
It is transformative.
It is transformative. And in that moment, there's just absolutely no desire to go back to what was previously.
And we know that the next
productive.
Rock and the next creepy crawly and the next intense insane it's a repeated process.
It's a repeated process. But, yeah.
But we learn the pattern, right? We learn
exactly.
to recognize the pattern of it and execute the movement. That's what practice is.
Exactly. And there's that, then that inherent memory of, oh,
yes
I've been here before.
I've been here before, and I know what this is, and I know what to do, and I know how it's going to feel, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Michael.
Thank you.
Thank
you. The quote that's coming to mind right now is that courage is the price that life exacts to grant peace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it just reminded me from the last conversation. And, it's just so true, and it's so great that I need to bring the courage. If I want peace, then I need to bring the courage to all of my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'm recognizing being here on retreat is that privilege of being guided
mm-hmm.
in all ways with the structure and the
mm-hmm.
workshops and the guidelines. And so I think, especially culturally, for me at least, when I'm not at the monastery, in my other life, there's this sense of like I'm in control or I should be in control, and
that's a distinction.
Except, well, for traffic in the Bay Area, you know, we all have to give up control around that. But there's this sense of like with that attitude of I'm in control or I'm going to direct my life. I can become insensitive to the cues that life is offering me, guiding me.
That's a very cute observation. If my attention is on a conversation on the illusion of control,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually not present to the cues that life is offering me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the beauty of being here is, of course, I don't have choice. When I agreed to come on the retreat, I said, okay, I'm going to follow through this environment. Okay, I'll follow the schedule. Okay, I'll...
Well, I would reframe that, right, Michael? Okay. We come to the be present to the truth of what is always so, rather than live in the illusion that I have some control. I have some control.
And now I'm giving it up.
Yeah, right? Because right. What? Because there's a willingness, so there's a willingness to surrender to a lack of choice, because that's what your heart is directing
right.
you to do.
Right.
But that's what in doing that we can realize that is true everywhere.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. It helps to make it more clear.
It's what traffic does too.
Right.
not as generously as the monastery, but in a more frustrating way. I actually don't have any control. Thank you. Thank you for dispelling that illusion.
So I'm really grateful.
Yeah, and I think that's what the training does for us, right? The practice of being able to surrender to peacefully to life storms in this structure allows me to develop the muscles to do that everywhere in my life. To know that I'm going to be all right if I don't believe that I'm the author of my experience.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a really valuable skill.
It is
everywhere. Everywhere, including traffic, work and family and whatever comes up, to be really as flexible as life can assist me to be.
Yes, because the corollary is, why do we want to be in control? Because we're told we cannot stand what will happen if we are not on top of it. But the more experiences we have of being able to be with, in compassion with whatever arises, allows us to be okay with not buying the illusion, and therefore available to those cues that actually assist us to be more in alignment with life, with intelligence.
Yeah, like drive later.
Yes.
After the traffic has passed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. I think that's Pasha. And then that.
I'm celebrating practice success.
Oh, we love those.
Yes. So I remember I first coming to practice and accidentally I'm wearing this Bridgewalk t-shirt from my first Bridgewalk.
Yeah.
And there was a moment of courage to come to the gathering of Sangha, and it felt to me like, wow, everybody's so happy, and I am just I just discovered the meditation, and I guess I was depressed, and I just didn't want to be around these happy people.
Way too many happy people.
and I was just kind of trying to hide myself there, but there was nowhere to hide. And then Sherry came to talk, and that was a moment of courage and stepping out of it. And that's what kind of conditioning after that brought me, like, oh my God, thanks God that's over. I'm never going to come to another Bridgewalk. But I never missed a single one since then. As practice walks on me and with me, and it changes so much. And now I am one of those happy people.
Yeah. Well, and what you're pointing at, right, Pasha, is just so, it's what we've been touching on all over, that there's something in our, hearts that knows what is so, that seeks it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get to the Bridgewalk? What brought you to that first Bridgewalk? Right?
Yes. Well, actually, I was at my girlfriend at the time gave me Sherry's book, and the funny thing, she wasn't practicing herself, and But I just needed desperately something.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of get me started. And later, couple years later, we get married again with the struggle of like, am I going to be a monk or marriage? Monk or marriage? And like, that was, so I had to like seek guidance from Sherry to decide. But now, next month, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And this marriage, I know only works because of practice. It only works because of practice. And it just brings so much tears to me because it's true. And it would have been gone long time without practice. And practice not only, I mean, it's so big. It's not only meditation. It's so many things. Now I'm signing up for every workshop, practice opportunity, anything available, because I discovered for myself that the things that I didn't sign up had the most gifts for me.
It does bring us to tears, right? Tears of gratitude, because there's the awareness of the possibility of what would have been
mm-hmm.
if we didn't listen to the guide within,
mm-hmm.
right? That which you're seeking brought you to that bridge walk, brought you to this community of people, because that other thing would instead of going to, wow, all of these are happy people, let me find out what makes them so happy so I can be part of that. What this wants to do is to say, okay, because you're not that happy person, let's never be with that again. It doesn't fuel what it is that's seeking. It's seeking to shut down what it is that it's seeking. And to just keep coming back, to keep signing up for everything, really gets you to that direct experience of, here's something that supports my heart, that supports everything in my life.
Yeah.
Supports me to be this happy person, supports me to be this partner in this marriage, without which practice won't work. And so I want to keep seeking those structures that are gifts to my life.
Yes, and what I'm also discovering now is not forgetting those dark places I've been as kind of being happy and in this kind of environment where condition gets me into a place of like, okay, now you're done with that. And that is over, and it's just like you don't want to go and look even at that black hole. But then I have this genuine opportunity to revisit that black hole and really experience like, oh my God, what a suffering to be there. And I made now a lot of recordings about it to remind myself where now I see clearly how much suffering partial experience or could experience. And what and now I want to keep those recordings as a reminder for myself to keep this together. It's not I'm kind of dropping and running away from, but it's all part of life, and it's it kind of makes me more grateful for practice.
Yes.
By knowing where I've been.
Yes. Well, you bring a very important point that's really important to all of us, right, Pasha? Because the reason I project, you projected a group of happy people,
mm-hmm.
is not because they only knew happiness
mm-hmm.
In that conventional sense of happiness. The true joy of happy people is the fact that they've been through every human experience and know there's nothing wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? That's happiness with that capital H, yeah. Not the opposite of sadness, which is what conditioning idealizes,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
which is never available.
Mm-hmm.
And so to know for yourself that there are places in which it's dark,
mm-hmm.
And in that darkness, there is tremendous stuff that gets revealed in terms of what is your authenticity and what is life. And those are as welcome as those places of absolute presence. And that duality doesn't prevent you from being happy.
Yes.
And that's what we reported about. Thank you. Anna?
I'm just experiencing a lot of peace. And it feels like the peace of that capital H happiness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is the surrendering peacefully to life terms. I'm so happy to be here at the monastery, and it's absolutely fine that I'm leaving today. And I had this experience over this weekend of feeling that clinging, that suffering arise of, oh, I want to stay for longer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so gorgeous here, so mm-hmm. gorgeous. And I felt that. And what was available was, I want to not suffer more than I want to suffer over ending suffering.
Yes, that's very profound. I want to not suffer over not suffering over ending suffering.
Yeah. I want to not suffer more than anything.
Yes.
If ending suffering is more important than anything.
Yes.
So in that moment, ending suffering was more important than I want to stay here. Right?
Which is suffering.
So wonderful. Exactly.
Yes. Because what you're pointing at is clinging to this the gorgeous moment means you're not in the gorgeous moment. So you just lost the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just that, oh, ego is the only thing that suffers. So even though there's this voice saying, I would love to be able to stay here for longer, what this human needs is for me to be here.
Now.
Doesn't need this. And it's that just that experience of knowing that I'm going to be all right whatever happens.
Yeah, that I can be completely present to this moment and enjoy its gorgeousness.
Yes.
Not let my attention wander to a conversation that wants to cling to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that whatever the next moment brings is going to be fine.
Yes.
As long as I'm not listening to a conversation that says, I wish I was in the previous moment, or this moment should be different, or whatever.
Could I just make it a bit longer?
Make it a bit longer. Like, whatever does that mean? Because our experience is that the longer we listen to it, the longer becomes misery.
Exactly. And not only whatever comes up I'll be fine, but whatever comes up is for me just a piece of the perfection that everything's perfect, and
the piece of the perfection that everything's perfect. Practically perfect in everything.
Exactly.
Lots of lovely P words, right? Very illustrative.
Yeah. So I can't think of a word for thank you that begins with P, but appreciation.
Some language somewhere. We have a key word that's thank you.
Exactly. Just really, really grateful for it all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Matt.
This discussion's just been amazing in so many ways. I feel like it's like getting at everything that I've been looking at for the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the lifting up the rock.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about I've just kind of been staying with that experience I had yesterday that I shared in a group of approaching the deck of cards, and that I wanted and kind of expected a certain card, and the card I got instead was acceptance.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's
a lovely way of pointing to the essential process.
Exactly. And the longer that sat with me, the more I was like, wow, that is my life. If it goes as I am willing for it to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because whatever I thought I wanted, what I really want is to be okay with that.
Oh, yes, how beautiful. That the realization is that what I thought I wanted, what I thought I wanted is always the bamboozle.
Yeah.
And obfuscates what is truly what we know for knowing the marrow of our bones, that is truly what we want. Yeah. And to be in the realization of that is so important.
Yeah.
Because we never get disappointed. Yeah. And that when it arrives and we're present for it, there's such a wonderful way of going, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I'm taken care of completely.
Yeah.
In fact, not getting what I wanted.
Yeah, because what I really wanted was acceptance.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's just, I didn't know that, but I was,
that's right,
where I was going.
It's because of what I was listening to,
yeah,
that I didn't know where I was going. But as soon as it appeared, that dropped, and this responded. It's a true call and response thing, right?
Yeah.
Life calls, we respond, and it's only in that alignment that we realize what we're being called to.
I'm taking that in kind of in what I've experienced this month, because my experience on retreat was like a couple of days of feeling weird about all the guidelines and not talking to anybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, being like, oh man, these projections are crazy, and putting them aside, and then just like being in place. Mostly. At least that's my memory of it.
Very different to come on retreat and then come to visit me.
As I found out.
In, on all
it was clear morning, yeah. And I said, after that morning, I said, yeah, ego is going to think that's boring, difficult, and scary. And sounds like a great chance to awaken.
Yeah.
And it turned out, I was barely touching. Boring and scary. Ego, I mean, it has been a month of resistance. Just like, I mean, so many nights where it was just like, this thing was like, get me out of here. I hate this. It's awful. I mean, every the like fullest degree of resistance I've ever experienced. And there were times where it's like the mentor's like, I'm lost too. There is nothing to do but just be with this.
Well, actually, that was a brilliant statement from the mentor.
Right.
It's what was it? Acceptance. You can't. There is nothing to do about the fact that you have to face that. If that is what your heart longs for, there are no shortcuts. That is the battle for authenticity that's being fought. And that's what you want. That's what you signed up for, and that's what you got.
Well, and that's what you know, the thing.
And the good news, Matt, is it's not over yet. Truly, the good news is it's not over yet.
It's a process.
Yeah.
And what I really got, or one of the things that did come through, was it doesn't matter. I am not giving up this year. It doesn't matter what it takes. This is the human's chance to experience a life of freedom and joy. And so I'll sit with and look through whatever I have to look through and be with it.
Yes. Willingness is the key to the gate of awakening. And I project what you saw in that process is the resistance is not you. Right? There's three components to that experience that resistance is trying to literally kill this person. Get them to quit. Get them to quit on the process is distinct from the human being that is being subject to that process and is distinct from all that is that will not quit on the human being. Ego, divinity, and human, all in one form. And we get to witness that whole thing. That we have the ability to be present to and participate in that conflict.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And it's a mind-blowing experience.
It's nice to be on this side.
Yeah.
for a moment.
Yes. Talking about Natasha, right? And there's that such a temptation at that point to go unconscious. Because after a month of such a level of presence, it's waiting for you at the gate. And the fun thing about that is it's all right. Right? Because as you said, it's a process. And so, I didn't put one for your change. There's nothing I can guarantee except growth on this adventure. It's almost guaranteed that you lose your way. And you might wander for the longest of times. And that's fine too. But you will come back.
Will this recording be part of the group
recording?
One last thing to share, which is I was driving, I was planning to drive from Denver to here to begin the month, and then just have my car here and then leave in my car. And 2 days before I was to drive here, I walked out of my door and my car had been totaled. Somebody ran into it and it was hit and run. Just totally smashed in my car. Hopefully they're okay. I was fine. No injury other than my car stopped. And of course there was like some moment of some period of like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get there? How travel? You know, just being upset about it all. And then I just decided, okay, there's some gift from life things. There's some gift. And I'm just going to assume, I don't know what it is. And I don't know what it is. But there's no way I would have made it through the night if my car had been. And I really see it as a gift from life. Because I know I could have left. There was choice here. And I could have found a way to leave, but that would have made it so easy. And I'm just so grateful that my car was in peace. So that I had to be with it. Such a gift.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I think that we have to go through whatever we go through in order for that to be seen that way. Right? Because going back to St. John of the Cross, you would never do that. You would not total your car in order to have this experience. Right? It has, in other words, there is nothing in us. I think it's the tremendous compassion of life that the one thing that we wouldn't do for ourselves from the place that we're at, that's what it does for us. Because I wouldn't voluntarily put myself through this 1 month of scary, boring torture. But something that is much, that whatever is seeking here, that supports what's seeking here, will do that for us. So that we can get to the other side and go, thank you. I mean, that gives me chills, Matt. I don't know if it gives you, chills, but wow. Anyone else before we go? Eleanor!
For me, the huge resistance is getting here at this time. And I mean, it's big. So this isn't my first time. It wasn't. And that's really scary. My past experience with this thing, Mark, has been just overwhelmingly wonderful. But for 2 months before I came, something went on. And it just, practice almost ended. It was trying so hard to keep me away. And what I've found is that seeing something and seeing what's under it has been bigger than ever. So there's obviously a reason resistance was keeping me away, because I've seen more than you can imagine seeing and practicing.
But we could say it was fighting for its existence. Because it knows that it's losing its grip on you, heaven.
And it's been here, obviously, with me. And some of the incredibly horrible things that it can do, I have seen. And so my commitment is pretty clear that practice is the presence that comes when each thing is revealed, like getting through the stuff, each time I can see that opening happen.
And so I project what the trajectory is, that an intense resistance from coming. And that itself is the workshop, right? Going up against it, going up against it. It's going to end practice. I'm not coming. And there's something that triumphs over that, that brings you here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then every occasion of that resistance, every moment of that resistance here that you practice with reveals something to you that is tremendous. Yeah. And so what that builds is the faith that you want to keep practicing, that whatever it does to you, it's not going to stop you.
In a different way.
Yeah.
So every step is a different way. Such gratitude. What an incredible thing to be able to step away and have this experience to take care of this. You know.
And such, it's sort of one of those places where we truly want to do that recording of gratitude to the person. The human being who, despite all of this intense, whatever it was that was going on for her, chose to come, chose to be here, chose to give it for all, chose to see.
Appreciation for her and for life. There was certainly something bigger than one person getting here.
Yeah. And perhaps it's a celebration of the intimacy that develops between the human and all that is. Mm-hmm. And it's a mutual give and take. I show up, and that shows up for me. I seek what is sought, and it reveals itself.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm lost, it's seeking me.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll always find me.
Beautiful. And so beautifully said with the tree.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I am connected. And
this is all that is.
You feel it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Phil.
Okay, good. So what I was listening to all this, which just dropped in, was that,
can you hear back there?
So you know, what I was saying.
Can you hear?
Yeah. All right. So when I was listening to all this, what just now dropped in was that, practice. The Ayi Monastery is sometimes called a hothouse for practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's contained and it builds and we go through
like
all
the meditation hall and the crucible.
Yeah. So just like what everybody was describing, boot camp up for spiritual training.
Boot camp for spiritual training.
Any novitiate kind of like that, you know. But what I'm saying is, so the beauty of that is, it never stops. As we're talking about, whether we are living at the monastery or going out into, living out in the world, the life keeps happening, and it happens sometimes in ways we don't want it to happen. And so, but what we've done in the monastery is learn in that hothouse, so to speak, in that contained, controlled, and good word, environment, is how to go through it and what to do when we're bumping up against it. And that is a gift that is beyond measure.
Yeah. That the monastery represents almost like a laboratory, right?
Yes.
That, as you call it, a hothouse, where we learn everything that we all of the skills, the essential skills, to be present to whatever it is that arises for us in life.
Yeah, because it's like a condensed.
It's a very compassionate, contained structure.
So you're going to run into everything, yourself at every turn.
Yes.
Small self, bump, bump, bump. And then how to...
And run into the self.
And then, yeah. And that's the beauty of it. Every time you bump into that one, you know, it explodes into the big one.
Yeah.
And it's like the joy besides all the, you know, the joy here is equal to the hard stuff. And then you learn all how to do that. You keep that with you whether you're here or not. You know, that's how we start living our life. And that's why we can be happy people.
Yes.
And
yes.
Why, you know.
Because we know how.
We know what to do. We can walk through that valley of darkness and fear no evil.
Walk through the valley of darkness and fear no evil. Mm-hmm.
And come out on the other end rejoicing. All that. Yes. Hallelujahs and all that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.